Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Acts, chapter 4 this time, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13.
Acts chapter 4, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you, Lord, once again for the privilege of coming into your house and opening up your word. And then, Lord, asking for your blessing to just allow us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear from you, Lord, that you would strengthen the faith and grace that you've given to us, that we might truly be faithful servants, Lord, in sharing the gospel with a lost and dying world. And then walking in your truth and in your wisdom, Lord, and being the influence that you would have us to be to one another and to the whole world, Lord. So bless your word tonight, build your people, Lord, empower us for your honor and glory, and may we be faithful, Lord, with what you've entrusted to us, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is a little bit long, it's the last part here. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And the ones that took knowledge were the Pharisees and the scribes and the other people that had been in their presence. But the them were Peter and John because of the work that God was doing in their lives. So really what we find here is a testimony of the work of God's grace. Isn't that great? The testimony. God wants to give us a testimony of the grace of God that he's given to us, and God wants that to work out of our lives. So tonight, three quick thoughts that we'll take a look at, and that is the opposition in the midst of God's grace. There will be opposition, right? God, the Lord said that if you follow me, if you belong to me, you're going to have resistance. You're going to have opposition in this world. So don't be surprised by that. And then secondly, the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit to stand for God. And then the third part is the unstoppable work of God done in God's power. The unstoppable work of God done in God's power. And so as long as we do the work of God in his power, we will be unstoppable. Amen? God's promised that. God says, if you'll look to me, if you'll call upon me, I'm going to answer. God is faithful to his word. If you'll walk in my ways, I'm going to bless. If you honor me, I'm going to honor you. If you'll give heed and place your faith and trust as a believer in me continually every day, amen, you will see me working in your life. And so let's back up a little bit and let's notice the opposition of the work of God here. In the midst of serving the Lord, there's opposition in the midst of God's grace. What was God's grace? This lame man from his mother's womb received strength in his legs again, right? For the first time. And he was leaping and praising God. You know, nobody had to say to him, God did that for you. He was praising the Lord, giving him the credit. Listen, when you got saved, do you remember? Nobody had to tell you that God saved you. That was something that was given to us at the point of salvation. So we praise the Lord for that. And by the way, we need patience and faith or trust. And as we work together with the Lord, serving him, we need to trust him and wait upon him. And notice what happens here. Look at verse 26 here of chapter 3. We'll finish with that. He says, "Unto you first," Peter was speaking to them, "God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So Peter was sharing the truth with them. And then what happens here in verse 1 of chapter 4? "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." There's the opposition. There's the resistance, right? They're in the middle. Listen, God was blessing, was he not? God just changed the life of a man who could not help himself, and he used two of his disciples to bring that to pass. Isn't that amazing that God will use imperfect man and honor himself through them? Peter, of all the people, of all the disciples that made more mistakes than probably all of them, and God used him to his honor and glory. That gives us hope, amen? God says, listen, I'm going to use you. That's my plan. You just need to trust me in that. So here it is. They all come upon him. Verse 2, "being grieved." It's telling us their attitude and their outlook, right? "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." They didn't like that. Isn't that amazing? There are people that don't like the preaching of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the same today? Absolutely. And the reason for that is because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes from seeing the truth, and they're not humbling themselves to say, God, I want you to tell me what the truth is. Isn't that amazing? If people would just say, Lord, I don't really, do we know anything really when it comes to knowing everything? Do we really know? Listen, stop and think about that. How much of everything do we know? Not a lot. Not a lot. There are so many things that we don't know that are even outside of creation. My goodness. The amount of even creation that we know about is just a small amount. And so we ought to humbly come before the Creator and say, I need you, God. I don't know how to come in or go out. I need you to show me. And so they're all upset. Verse 3 says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. That means they incarcerated them. That means they were just in the middle of doing a good thing. Now listen, Peter could have gotten all upset and John could have, Lord, we're doing your work. Why are you letting this happen to us? But that was not their spirit, was it? They were in tune with the working of God in their lives. Not only could they trust God to do the impossible, miraculous work, but they also could trust God even when they were incarcerated and held against their will. No doubt, they didn't want that. But listen, they were willing to trust the Lord in a difficult trial of time here, a time of trial that God was going to use for his honor and glory. So listen, they didn't complain. They trusted the Lord, and notice what happens here. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Isn't that great? Do you know that our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Lord, will you do that? Will you work once again like that? Lord, give us the faith to believe you, to work in the life like you did in Peter, in our lives, amen? That you might be honored and glorified for your honor and glory. So here we find this opposition in the midst of God's grace, and now we find the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit to stand for God. So verse 5 says this, and it came to pass on the morrow, so this is the next day, and by the way, the Spirit is working in the life of Peter, and here's what's important, listen, we cannot make little of the Holy Spirit of God. Did God let us know that before Jesus started his ministry, when he was baptized of John, remember what John the Baptist said? I have need to be baptized of you. No, the Lord said, suffer aloud. This is the way it's got to be. What happened? The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down, and that's how he started his ministry. By the way, what did he tell the disciples? Wait until you be endued from on high with power. Amen? And then you're going to be, and I'm paraphrasing, and then you're going to be my witnesses. So how important is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life? That has not changed. Amen? The church has been empowered with dunamis power in the book of Acts here. And that was the beginning of the power of God on the church. The church had been in existence, as we all know, from the shores of Galilee. But the Spirit and the work of the Spirit are important. And listen, that is God's mode and method. That's something that, listen, if we get away from that, then we're going to start coming up with our own ideas on how we can bring people in, and we're not going to see the miraculous taking place. We're going to, you know, listen, when you have a big hoopla, when the hoopla is gone, so are the people, if that's the reason why they came. But when God does a work, that's why we're here tonight. If God didn't do a work, I promise you, I wouldn't be here tonight. If God did not save me back on May 8th of 1987, I wouldn't have lasted 3 months. I would have said, forget this religious stuff. Because God wasn't about religion. He gave me a relationship, and he fanned the flames and created a hunger and a thirst for him and his righteousness. Isn't that good? But I want you to know something that we need to be careful about. These people, these Pharisees and the Sanhedrin here, they did not know the Lord. And yet they were committed to their religion, no power. That's crazy, isn't it? I couldn't do that. I wouldn't have never done that. But God made the difference in my life, and God made the difference, I'm sure, in your life, and that's why we're here tonight, because we serve a living Savior, amen, a risen Savior. And we thank the Lord for that. So again, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? They were trying to get them to back up, weren't they? Listen, there's just two of them, amen, in the midst of all these people that they know are, listen, do you think John and Peter doubted that they were in opposition with them? There was no doubt. They knew, and so now it's an opportunity to stand for the Lord. And so, by what power or by what name have you done this? That's the authority. Now watch this, verse 8. Then Peter filled, and we have to stop and consider that word filled, it's pimplemi. That's the Greek word pimplemi, which means to fill or to be filled. That is in the present tense, to be filled. So listen, how important is the filling of the Holy Spirit? It is important, vitally important, that we walk in the Spirit of God. And so because he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Isn't that good? And listen, God is working through the life of Peter. Amen. Peter would have never been able to give an... Remember, he's unlearned. Peter would have never been able to answer them how God would answer unless God was working in him. Verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. He's not ashamed at all, is he? God has given him boldness. And so he says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, don't you know they all cringed right there? He said it. But you know what? Praise God. He said it. Amen? For the glory of God, he said it. And so be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, verse 10, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, notice this, whom ye crucified, and then so here it is, he's telling them, you're the one, you crucified him, whom God raised from the dead. He wants them to know the rest of the story. Even by him doth this man stand here before you. Listen, whole. So he's saying this. He's taken the focus off of himself and put it to the focus of the work that God did in this lame man. You know why? Deny that. Everybody there knew that this was the man that was begging at the beautiful gate. And so he says, be it known unto you, this is the work of God, undeniable. Do you know, listen, as we yield ourselves and call upon the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in our lives, and God begins to work and use us to lead souls to him, they will be gloriously saved and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and be serious, at least as serious as you and I are. And that's how God builds the church. Amen. And that's how God still wants to build the church today. Listen, we all need to look in the mirror. That is the vehicle by the Spirit of God that God has chosen to use. Amen. If we sidestep that, we sidestep the plan and will of God. We can't sidestep that. You know, it's not like, you know what the government's answer? And it doesn't matter who's in control. You know what the government's answer to every problem? Throw money at it. Somebody else take care of that. And oh, God says no. God says, I have chosen my vehicle. And that is the believer that is indwelt and yielded to the working of the Spirit of God. That's my plan. So, How will God's plan be fulfilled in our lives if we're not aware of that? How will souls be saved if you and I are not committed to that? How will that work if we're not calling upon God to do his work in us, to fulfill that. Do you see where it all... Listen, we ought to be crying out to the Lord. Why? Souls aren't being saved. That's not the will of God. And the Lord has told us that he's going to use broken vessels for his honor and glory. And humble hearts and servants that are looking to the Lord himself. And so Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter couldn't have been in a better place for the glory of God. And here's the thing. Peter would have never come up with that plan. Listen, Lord, you use me to... There's going to be a man. He didn't even know about this. There's going to be a man lame from his mother's womb. And you're going to speak to my heart. And then you're going to put me... You're going to incarcerate me overnight so that I can preach the gospel. Would Peter have ever come up with that? See, that's the way God does not think the way we think. Listen to the way God thinks. He has chosen us to glorify himself by his power, not ours. Amen. By his power. Not by what we think, but by what he will do. And we have to be calling upon the Lord for him to do that. So he says, I want you to know, he says, by this Jesus Christ, verse 10 there, in the middle of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. His life has been changed. So as we consider this, he says, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Who's he pointing to? Do you get this? This was the stone you guys discarded, which is become the head of the corner, the most important part of the whole building you guys threw away. Listen. He's Peter. Neither is there salvation in any other. He is in the hands of God. Peter is. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Isn't that great? Amen. Listen. Only God. Only God could do that. Amen. And do you know that same God wants to do that work in our day and age? Amen. He has not changed. Where is our faith? Where is our trust? Who are we going to trust in? What we think or what God has said? His plan is forever. Amen. And we just need to look to his plan and that alone. Last thought, the unstoppable work of God done in God's power. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter, remember? But he's not by himself. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Who's doing all this work? God is doing all this work. God is bringing all this to their mind. God is allowing them to see that these men should not be able to do this, again, God glorifying himself. They marveled. Listen, the ones who Peter was saying, you guys discarded the precious cornerstone. You guys crucified the Son of God. Only God at work can cause people who are being accused to marvel. To marvel. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. God is confirming Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus is the change agent. Amen? There's no change without him. And beholding the man which was healed. Guess who showed up the next day? It wasn't just a passing thing with him. God changed his life. And he made sure he was there for the ones that God used to change his life. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Where was this guy standing? With Peter and John. He was right there the next day, standing with them. And they couldn't say a thing about it. Peter by himself, John by himself, could have never done that. You and I by ourselves can never do that. It takes God. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, conferred among themselves. So they get them to leave. And notice the conversation, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle, mark it down, hath been done by them. Listen, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. Everybody knows it. If we could cover it up, but we can't. Listen, and we cannot deny it. That is the witness God wants to bring into the world, an undeniable witness. Amen. We can't do that by ourselves. But we won't get it unless we seek God to do it. We won't get it if we can hear it and not ask God, don't expect anything. Yeah, I heard what you said, preacher. Sounded pretty good. In fact, it was probably the truth. But unless, as Brother Roger so many times says, take it out the door. God, do that in me for your glory. Bring that into my life. That's why we come here, to hear the truth of the Word of God, that we might ask God to put it in our lives. Do that for us, Lord. Verse 17. Notice their concern, but that it spread no further among the people. They don't care about the glory of God. Here's the great thing, though. They couldn't deny it. Isn't that amazing? They could not. They wanted to. They wanted to stop them. But they couldn't. Because God is unstoppable in the heart of a child of God that is saying, Lord, your will in my life. Your will. Your love. Your compassion. Lord, I will yield wholeheartedly, Lord, for you to fulfill your work, your will in my life. Amen. Not mine, but yours, God. So, but that it spread no further, verse 17, among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Is that going to work? Is that? And by the way, listen, if it wasn't for God, they were threatened. The last time they threatened somebody, the Lord, he was on the cross. They were after the Lord and they got him, didn't they? But that was the plan of God. They fell right in line. You can't outsmart God. God's already been there. Verse 18. And they called him, so they threatened them, don't speak in this name. And they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Listen to the answer, being reminded that Peter wasn't coming up with this stuff off the top of his head. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. By the way, the day before. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Wow. Do you see what he just did there? He just answered them with an unanswerable answer, unless you're going to deny God who you say you uphold. God moved in them to answer them with something that could not be answered. Of course they can't deny the Lord because they proclaim to stand for God. So he says, now you judge. Well, that was ended the moment Peter finished saying what God led him to say. And notice what he says, verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they couldn't deny what he was saying, but listen, we're still going to get you. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Listen, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Did they glorify Peter and John or God? They glorified God. Who's shining forth through our lives? Are people looking at us and what we're doing and say, God, is working in their lives. That's the testimony. Look at the mercy and grace and love of God working in their lives. If they can't see that, God's not there. I didn't say you weren't saved, but the influence and the presence of God is not working. Last verse, verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Wow. He was above 40. Imagine, from his mother's womb. And he was set free. Amen. Do you think that man ever forgot what God did for him through those two men? Do you know that the souls that God wants to use, the souls that God wants us to touch with his Spirit and see them saved, they will never forget. Have you forgotten the one who told you? If it was somebody that told you about the Lord, I have not forgotten. I see his face right now. And I thank God that he didn't quit, because I told him, I'm not interested. You know what? That was probably the dumbest thing I could have ever said, and I didn't even know it. And I thought I was smart. I don't need that. That was the very thing I did need. I am so glad he did not quit. And God wants to use us to touch the lives of other people personally, that they might come to know him in the same manner where they will never forget. So tonight, God is looking for his children to trust him, that the world might take knowledge that we have been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the reminder. Lord, may we not leave it here. May we call upon you to fulfill your will and work in each and every one of our lives. May you bless Northwood with a heart, Lord, to seek after you and your promises that you've given to us, that we might call upon you to do them in our lives. Bless Northwood again, Lord, and glorify yourself in and through this church and all your churches. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.